Lord, we give this night to you, and I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that your word and your power and your spirit is life to us, God. It's joy, it's help, it's health to our bones. Lord, we just want to come and hear from you tonight, Lord. And I just thank you, God, for what you've done and all you are. We just give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to try a 20-minute timer and see what happens. If it goes off, don't say anything if I'm not finished. No. All right. I'm going to use my piano. So our theme this week, and if you've looked, I know you've had a chance to maybe look at the devotionals and look at our lovely little booklets, but it's Romans 15:13. And this has been a special verse to me. And you can open there, you can keep your finger there, but we'll be looking at a few scriptures. But I wanted to talk tonight about, to me, what's maybe the heart of this verse, part of the heart of this, before we go into our other sessions, because I want this kind of be laid out there. And it's the word believing. So Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." The phrase "in believing" has meant so much to me in my life, this scripture. And it's kind of a, God just really used it in my life, and I'll say something about that later. But, you know, there's a lot that we can see in this verse, and we're going to talk in our groups about the God of hope. Who is this God we believe in? It's not just believing that, you know, I can't believe something and it's going to happen just because I believe it. It's the God that we believe in, and he's the God of hope. And I had a little devotional, and I laid it aside, but yeah, can I borrow that? And thank you. I wanted to just read, and I'm sure you've read it, but I think it was in Thursday's devotional. And she talks about hope. It says, unlike our English word hope, the New Testament word contains no uncertainty. It's not just hoping and wishing something will happen. It speaks of something that's certain but not yet realized. Biblical hope is the confident expectation that God is willing and able to fulfill the promises he's made to those who trust him, and that God will fulfill his promises to us, and specifically joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Thank you, Michelle. Biblical hope is a hope that is firm and true, and not like I wish, you know, or, I hope it's going to stay sunny tomorrow, you know. But my hope is in the Lord, and it's steadfast. That's the kind of hope, that the God of hope that we have. It's not something that we just wish on. But the point, what we're talking about this weekend is how we can... Told ya. All right. What we're talking about, it's going to happen about 4 or 5 more times. So, you know, just be prepared. Yeah. So, okay. Come back, everybody. Oh, and, you know, of all people that this happens to, I'm the worst. My train gets off the track all the time. All right. Back to what I was trying to say. Okay. Where was it? Our little shirts, what do they say on them?
Cultivate.
Cultivate. And the theme this week, or the theme this weekend, is cultivating joy and hope and peace in our life. How we do that in our lives. And it's by believing, and not just believing in the God of hope. And so that's what we're looking at. And if you're going to plant a spiritual garden, if you were to plant a spiritual garden, you'd want to see joy. You'd want to see hope. You'd want to actually see all the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meaning self-control, all of those, faith, goodness, all of those fruits. If we're going to plant a spiritual garden, that's what we'd want to see. And that's what we believe to see. Because it's the hope, it's the joy, it's the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I'll talk about the soil in a minute. But I believe believing. Believing is that good soil. Faith is that good soil. Believing is the action of faith. It says it's, the belief is to have faith, all right? So when we say believing, it's our acting out of our faith. And I believe Romans 15:13 tells us how to plant this garden, this to yield this spiritual fruit, to have this love, this joy, this peace, and all the things that God has for us by the power of the Spirit and the God of hope that we believe in. And as I said before, this scripture is special to me. Many years ago, and I don't remember how many, maybe 10, there was a lady who visited our church. She stayed at the mission house, and she gave a testimony of being in human trafficking, like she was a trafficking victim. I don't know if y'all remember that, an Asian lady. And anyway, we were visiting with her in the mission house one day, and she said, "The Lord told me to tell you this, to give you this scripture." And I'd heard the scripture before, Romans 15:13. But she told me, "God wants me to tell you this scripture." And so when she said that, and I didn't really know her, but, you know, if someone gives me a scripture, I can hold on to it because that's God's word, you know. And so she spoke this scripture to me. And just, I've leaned on this. I can't tell you how hard and how often. Not the word that I leaned on was believe, in believing. Because there have been trials and there have been times that I didn't know who I could believe, what I could believe, what tomorrow would bring, anything like, just the devil attacked so many ways in these last 10, 15 years, whatever, that God would always bring my mind back, believe me, just believe. And it's been such a strength to me, and I just wanted to share that with you to realize and help you to realize that your faith, your believing in God is what is going to strengthen you and get you through. A lot of times things will come that it makes it hard to believe because it doesn't look like what you're hoping and praying and what God promises, you know. But yet we've got to grow and we've got to be firm in our belief and who we believe. All through the New Testament, what Jesus would ask people to do, what his question was, is, "Do you believe? Do you believe I can heal you? Who do people say that I am? Who do you think I am? What do you believe?" It mattered to him. That's what he asked his disciples. That's what he wants of us. Are we going to believe him? Are we going to believe him no matter what we see and what we think or what comes against us? The Bible mentions that Jesus, there were things that astonished him. And I always thought that was interesting. How could Jesus be astonished? But he was astonished with someone's faith. The centurion who said, "I'm not worthy for you to even come in my home or to my home, but I know you have authority and you can say the word and my servant will be healed." And he was astonished at his faith. "I haven't seen any faith like this all Israel," Jesus said. I mean, how beautiful would it be our faith to astonish Jesus? And then he gets in the boat with the disciples after he's walking on the water. All right, and they're like scared to death because they don't know who it is. And they've already fed 5,000. They've already seen the miracle of the loaves. They've already been, I believe I'm correct in saying that, but there's already been lots of miracles and they've seen the power of God. And then he's walking on the water and they're like, "Oh my goodness, it's a ghost. It's a ghost." And he marveled at their lack of faith, you know, or when he's sleeping in the boat. So, you know, and Jesus, don't you care that we perish, you know? And he says, "Where's your faith? Where's your faith?" And so it just always caught me. He was astonished and he marveled either when people had great faith or when they lacked faith. My daddy, I have a great relationship with my father, and he loved peanut butter and banana sandwiches. Has anybody ever eaten a peanut butter and banana sandwich? Okay. I was grossed out as a kid with peanut butter. I did not want to touch a peanut butter and banana sandwich. And my daddy would beg me, "Please try it. It's so good." And I said, "No, I don't want it. I don't want it." And, you know, he didn't force me, but he was very disappointed. And this wasn't just once. This was every time he made one. "Carly, you want to try it? It's good." "No, Daddy, no, that's gross. I don't, peanut butter and banana, You know, and it would hurt him so much, you know. He's like, "Why don't you believe me? I'm telling you, it's really good. It's really good. Why don't you believe me?" And I mean, this went on all my life. And then when I got to be an adult, I finally one day, I probably went on some kind of crazy diet or whatever, but it had bananas and peanut butter together, not on bread. I still don't know about that, but I'm sure it's good. It's good. I'm going to try it. I'm going to do it for my daddy. I'll do it for my daddy. Now, he'll fuss at me why'd you wait this long to try that banana? But I was thinking of that when I was thinking of the Lord, because when I did finally try it, it was really good. Peanut butter's good with anything. You can eat cardboard and peanut butter, practically. But I didn't believe my dad. Is it still recording if it goes off, Sylvia? Oh, probably so. Oh, I don't know.
It's still recording if you don't see it.
It's got some pretty little flowery things. It's really pretty. Distraction number two. Lord, help me, Jesus. Okay, no, it's fine. Peanut butter, banana. Okay, and so, but it did, it hurt my dad that, you know, I didn't trust him, that I wouldn't take him at his word. And just think, I thought about that, about God, and how many times he's, this is good. I know it'll be good for you. It'll be the best thing for you. It'll benefit you. You know, we're like, no, God, no. I don't want it. I don't believe you. I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going to trust you. You know, and it just, if God can be hurt, he is grieved. His Holy Spirit is grieved when we don't believe him, when we don't trust him, when he has something for us. And it could be a storm. It could be a trial. It could be a sickness. It could be something that is we're going to have to walk through with faith, believing, but God, it's going to be. How many of you have been through a trial and you know it was good and God did a great work at the end of it? You were refined, you were strengthened, you knew God more. Lee always says, leave me here, God. If this is what it takes for me to be close to you, leave me here. You know what God has for us is good, but it doesn't necessarily mean a trial. Maybe it's Stacy, where are you? I always think about you in Japan, you know, and how that just was the last thing you wanted to do. Kicking and screaming, you went to Japan. And then later you said, it's the best thing you ever did. So we just have to trust that he's our Father and that he loves us and be willing to just step out in faith, believe him. Even if you don't know that something's from him, and I'm not even going saying it in my order, but maybe there's something that comes and you know it's the enemy. Are you going to believe? Am I going to believe that God is going to be good in the midst of this attack that Satan's coming against me? God's providing some way of escape. God is doing something to help. And I have to believe that he is going to fight this battle and I'm going to be victorious. So just think about that as far as how God does ask us and longs for us. Jesus longed for the disciples and everybody he met to believe him. And when somebody did, miracles happened. His hometown, he couldn't do much. He couldn't do many miracles because they didn't believe him. And he works through our faith. He works when we believe him. Will I believe him? He's asking us that question. Go to 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 15. Second Timothy 1. I'm sorry, sometimes we get quiet. Lee says I mumble. I don't know what he's talking about. Okay. Let's just maybe just concentrate on it's chapter 1, verse 12, I guess, or 11. And this is Paul speaking to Timothy. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things, talking about for the sake of the gospel. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which you've heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. And you look this up in study, it's talking about the gospel that's been deposited in our life. Paul was called and commissioned in Romans 15. He goes on to talk about that if you look at the context. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about this gospel to the Gentiles. Salvation has come. And he's talking about that's what I'm committing to God. And he is able, I'm fully persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. If you've committed your life to the Lord, he is able to keep you. If you following him, if you belong to him, he is able to keep you. And are we fully persuaded? That's just what I'm asking myself through all of this. Am I fully persuaded? Even if I don't know what tomorrow brings, even if I don't like what's happening right now, am I fully persuaded that he is able to fulfill, to keep that which I've committed to him, to do what he said he would do for me in my life as his child? He's able. The book of Romans, if you know, I mentioned in the little note somewhere to look at the context of the book of Romans, because, you know, we don't just pick a verse out of the thin air. We look at all the things that are around it. The book of Romans talks about what we were. We were lost. We were all sinners. We were without the Lord. It talks about what we are in Jesus now that we are saved. We're free from condemnation. We're free from the law. If God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, the book of Romans spends a lot of time talking about who we are in Christ. And then it talks about what Christ can be through me. I'm a living sacrifice. And the chapters leading up to where we are in Romans 15 are about the body and the fellowship that we have. That's what the Word of God talks. And talks about there in Romans. And then it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And our faith is in who he is, what he said, and what he's done in our lives, and what he wants to do in our lives. And back to that good soil. I don't have much more to say, I believe, but that good soil is our faith. You know the parable of the sower. And he went out to sow seed. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell in the thorns. Some fell in the rocks or stones. And some fell on good soil. And he talks about the word of God as the seed. And where it falls is that good soil, or whatever kind of soil. But the good soil is the faith that you have. It talks about in Hebrews that the Israelites, because of their unbelief, they didn't, they couldn't enter into God's rest because of their unbelief. What they heard, the word was not mixed with faith. And so the word that God gives to you, you have to believe it. It has to be mixed with faith if it's going to grow and take root and bear fruit. If you don't have faith, if you don't believe God, and y'all, it's all he gives. It's a gift of faith. He gives us grace. It's beautiful that he gives us everything we need. I can't make myself have faith, but I can say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You know, that's what the man in the New Testament says. He supplies, he strengthens. But I have to, if I'm going to stand, I have to take him in his word, even when everything else around me doesn't look like it. Am I going to believe that he's good? Do you believe he loves you? Do you believe he loves you? Well, God, if you love me, why is all this happening to me? Don't look at that. Do you believe he loves you? He said he did. He showed that he did on the cross. Believe him, even if it doesn't look like it. But anyway, back to the soil. The word of God has to be mixed with faith. And the Bible talks about an unbelieving heart, an evil heart of unbelief. Ask you, God, show me, do I have an evil heart of unbelief? It causes you to depart from God. Even as you as a churchgoer, as maybe a Christian, is there unbelief? Because this situation, I'm thinking it's too hard or too impossible. Or maybe I disobeyed you, God, and I've gotten myself in a mess. I don't think you can get me out of this. All of that, is that what our thought is and our mindset? It's a heart of unbelief. God is merciful and gracious and forgiving, and he knows and he sees what he can do, even when we have messed up. He's so patient and so long-suffering and so merciful. Do we believe that? Do we really believe it, who he says he is? It also says in Hebrews 3:7, and I won't take time to look it up, that's about the evil heart of unbelief. But it also says to beware lest you become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's saying, God, you can't. I just don't know if you can this time, God. This is just too much. This person is too far away from you. I can't imagine them ever coming to you. God can. You know, I had a situation like this. Someone called me from out of town that I know that's just chosen the world over the Lord, you know, and knowing the truth, and just done his thing. And he just called me out of the blue. I'd been praying, you know, God put it on my heart to start praying. I wasn't praying for him like I should be. And I was praying, and he called me a few days ago and said, I really feel like I need to, how do I pursue God? How do I do this? What do I do about this? You know, because my whole family is going the other way, but I just have to, it's what I'm trying is not working. I need to pursue God. And I'm just like, is this person that I'm thinking of? Oh my gosh. And it just like, how could I doubt it that God is working? We may not see it, but we have to believe that God is working. We don't want that heart of unbelief that causes us to depart. I don't want to be deceived by sin and think, God, I'm too far gone. God, they're too far gone. Our sin's too great. I can't ever, you know, overcome this. Or God, you're able. You're able, and it's never too late. It's never too far. God, you can. That's faith. God, you can. God, you can. And that's the good soil. The wayside, when the seeds fell on the wayside, is when the enemy comes and steals it. And y'all, I know you know, there's a real battle with the enemy. And he lies, and he's loud, and he's ugly, and we need to know it's his voice. Even when we know sometimes it's his voice, we still get discouraged. We still let him have power over us. Instead of, and I'm talking to myself, instead of, no, Lord, I believe what you say. I believe what you say. God gives us his word. God strengthens us through words. And that, you know, as from a sermon maybe, something really grips you, God's speaking to you. Or maybe someone shares something with you and God's speaking to you. Or maybe you're walking on the beach and God speaks to you. God speaks to you. And we've got to stand and believe that word and not let the lies of the enemy, we know what they are. I mean, I believe most of you know what the lies of the enemy are, anything that's going to make you think God's not able or that God doesn't love you or that this is impossible. You know, I do believe you know the enemy's voice. Recognize it and rebuke it in Jesus' name and say, no, that's not true. God is true. And, you know, there's situations I went through that I needed to know what was, there you go. Okay. Sorry, Angela. Oh, okay, maybe that's the last time because I'm going to wrap it up. There's situations we go through and I went through and I didn't know what was true. I really couldn't tell. And so I just said, God, I need to know what's true. I need to know in this situation what's the truth. And he would show me. He would comfort me in the way that, like, you're going the right way, Carly. You're believing what you're thinking, that is the truth. Keep on believing. Don't go this way. And he would show me those things. And I'm not, y'all, I am nothing. I need to hear God, and sometimes I struggle with hearing God, okay? We all do. And we're all in the same place. But he is speaking, and we need to just take that word and believe it. That's where our hope comes from. That's where peace comes from. That's where joy comes from. That's how it's cultivated, to get back to our word. I'm almost finished. Rocks and thorns. I thought it was interesting that the problem with the seed and the rocks is that it couldn't take root. And it's, you know, it couldn't get down and be just really strong. So when trials came, and sometimes, boy, when the sun's shining, God, I believe you. Oh, you're the awesome. You know, your life is great. And it takes about 15 minutes maybe for something else to come up, a trial or whatever. And if we're not strong in our faith, rooted in, I believe God, I'm not saying you're this, you know, it's in God. Believe in him. We don't have to be this rock all the time where I never show that I, Lord, I need help. But strong in my faith means I believe God said he is who he says he is. That's what a strong faith is. And so sometimes those, don't be like, don't let the seeds fall in thorn, I mean under rocks where trials come and it just knocks you down. You know, one day you have faith and one day you don't. Nobody likes being like that. It's a miserable situation. Even in the trials, there's something God is doing. And that's what you have to know, and that's what you have to believe. Go back to that word. Read it again. Pray it again. Believe it again. Those who heard properly are the ones who did it. That's what God said. Kept my word. And we keep his word by walking in it and in that truth. And then the thorns, I kind of thought this was convicting too to me, is if that word fell among the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. You know, God, I believe you, but really this is working for me right now. You know, maybe it's whoever I'm getting advice from, or maybe it's a relationship, or maybe it's money, or maybe it's other. This is working. I'm all right, God. You know, I've got this going well. And then all the time, something happens, and that pulls us away from the Lord, and we no longer even turn to Him anymore. The cares, the riches, the things that we seek to take His place. I ask myself the question, how much does God have to do for me to believe Him? You know, I sing these songs, goodness of God, all my life You've been faithful. And my life flashes before my eyes from my childhood on. He has been faithful. He has been faithful. How much does He have to do? I mean, He died on the cross. He rose again. He's coming soon. He lives in me. How much does He have to do for me to really believe Him? And ask yourself that question. How much does He have to do? There's the saying, seeing is believing. Y'all know that saying? It's not true. It is not true. If you can see it, you don't have to believe it. All right? Believing is seeing. And that's the truth. All right? Faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if I believe and I have faith, that gives me sight. That gives me a hope for the future. That gives me joy because I do believe it and it's going to be. I'm not naming it and claiming it. I'm talking about who God is and what He said He will do. He's faithful. David said, I would have fainted if I hadn't believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And David faced some trials. I mean, he was heartbroken. He sinned. He fell. So that was one of them. You know, but then his son turns against him, takes his throne. I mean, did you just think of the heartbreak? And we all go through heartbreak. All right? But he believed to see the goodness of the Lord while he was living. And that can look a lot of different ways. But it's God's goodness in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord. Believe Him. So I just want to urge you to believe the Lord. And we're just going to go to our next session right now, but I want you to pray just about this for a few minutes. Maybe God's just giving you some little something to hold on to. And Pam and Michelle and Kayla are going to share with us tonight and tomorrow night just how we can put our faith firmly in God, in our thought life, in our fellowship, in our belief of who God is. So many things they're going to share with us, but just keep seeking the Lord for this and standing on what He's given you tonight. Let's just take a minute to pray. Lord, we just give You this time, God. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, God, for Your word, for what You speak, God, for who You are. Lord, we believe You. Just tell the Lord tonight You believe Him. Lord, I believe You, God. I believe who You say You are. I believe You say and do what You say You'll do. God, I believe You're faithful. God, I believe that You're good. You're loving, You're kind, You're powerful. God, I believe You're almighty. Lord, there's no one like You, no other God beside You. Lord, I believe. I believe, Lord. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Strengthen us, Lord, in our faith, God, to walk with You, Lord Jesus, to know You, God, more and more, God, to trust You, Lord. God, let our faith be the ones that astonishes You, God, marvels You, Lord. Oh, God, that brings You joy. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.